Okay, this is an interview with Alec William Campbell, dated the 26th of February 1997, which happens to be... Which happens to be his 98th birthday today. And this is recorded in Newtown, Hobart, Tasmania. Just for the record, if you could tell me your full name, where you were born, and where you grew up.
I was born in Launceston. I went to Scotch College, and I went to the university here, and I did an economics degree, and then when did I go on to then?
Well, do you want the early part? You grew up in Launceston.
Yes, I know that. I just said I went to school.
Okay. Let me ask you, in the early days, what was Launceston like? What do you remember of the town?
It was a nice little town, Launceston. It was compact. There were two or three fairly big shops there, and the rest were smallish shops, you know. The climate I thought was nice. We used to swim in the Tama River. It wasn't very clean. And the hills beyond Trevallon were pleasant to walk in. And yes, Launceston was a pleasant place.
Okay. And how did a young boy or a boy in his, you know, sort of 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old kid, how did you pass your time? You swam, you walked, but what were the other activities you did back then?
Well, at home in Launceston?
Yeah.
I played cricket. I played some football, but more cricket. I used to like to go into the bush shooting with dogs and in the stubble paddocks, a quail. And I don't know that there was anything else much that I did.
Okay. Did your family, your father or anybody else in your family, have any kind of military background? Had anyone served in the Boer War, for instance, from your family?
No, I didn't really get that. I'll put those hearing aids in a minute, I think.
Did anyone in your family have a military background? Did your father, for instance?
Oh, my Uncle Carl did, and my Uncle Will did.
What did they do?
As doctors?
No.
Yeah, I thought you said medical men.
No, military.
Military, no. I was...
You were the first.
Yes.
The first of the Campbells. Mm. Okay. When did you first hear about World War One? When did you first find out there was a war?
Well, that's too long ago to tell. Fairly soon, because there were rumours of war coming out, you know, and then we heard war was declared. Then Australia, of course, was in it too, because England was in it. I don't know if they'd do that today. And I enlisted. I went to Egypt. From Egypt, we went to Gallipoli.
All right. Well, I'll stop you there. Firstly, why did you enlist? You were how old? You would have been...
I was 16 when I left school to enlist. I was 17 on Gallipoli.
No.
Why... But why did you enlist?
Oh, I don't know. You don't look for reasons why I did this. You just did it. And I think one thing most young fellows were going, and there was always a certain amount of... See, I was only 16 up there, so that I was not very mature to make decisions of any sort.
Most importantly, what did your parents think about the fact that you were enlisting? Were they happy with that?
I don't know. I don't know.
But they had
to. I don't think they realised what the war was, you know, until afterwards. I didn't hear them complain anyhow.
Well, they obviously gave their permission, didn't they?
They didn't when I enlisted.
How did you enlist then?
I just went up and went into the recruiting office and put myself in as a recruit, and they were after men, so they'd. I was young and not very big, but I was strong, and I did all right.
Okay. Alec, did you put your age up?
Oh, yes. Yes, I think I said I was 18.
Told a little white lie.
Yes, yes.
All right. Before you left Australia, did you have... Before you left Australia,
yes,
and you sailed overseas, did you have to undergo any military training? Did you have to train?
Oh, not really. We did, you know. We did rifle shooting, and we did marching, and not much training, really. It gets you in really decent physical nick. Because they'd be running in the morning and doing exercises. But there's nothing over-strenuous or...
Where did you train?
Oh, first of all in Launceston, then in Hobart. Then I was in Broadmeadows in Victoria. And...
Okay.
I think we went straight from Australia then.
Do you remember sailing? Do you remember leaving Australia? What the feeling was like?
Oh, no, I don't remember what the feeling was like. But we didn't object to it. I was 16. You see, there's a photo of it up there. It's all a bit of an adventure at that age. I'd just left school, you see.
Okay. You had no idea how long you might be away for, did you?
Oh, no, nor did I care. I suppose when I was after Gallipoli, I thought it'd be nice to get out of it. You can see how old I was, and I came through Gallipoli where a lot of more mature people didn't. It was it wasn't a good place to serve at all.
Okay. Now,
especially when the snow and the rain came.
Okay. Now, I understand you left Australia on August the 16th in 1915. What was the trip to England?
Leave
1915.
Yes.
What was the boat trip like?
Pleasant enough, I suppose. It's hard to... I don't remember any hardships on the boat. They had exercises aboard the ship. We had plenty to eat, you know. Now, I don't remember much about it. Except that it happened and happened happily enough.
Okay. Now, on the 23rd of October in the same year, 1915, you joined up with the 15th Battalion in Lemnos.
Oh, yes, that's right. But yes, but yes, yes.
Okay. Now, what battalion or what? Who were you with at the time?
Who
were you with?
Who was in the battalion?
No, no. Who were, prior to joining the 15th, joining up with the 15th, who were you with? Who were you enlisted with?
We were just a company on our own. There might have been some other, a few stray fellows around, but I can't remember anyone in particular till we actually joined the... So we joined D Company pretty well straight away.
What was your rank and what was your job?
What would it, was my rank?
Yeah.
Up there, look, private.
Private? And what... So you were basically just a private soldier?
Basically?
Soldier. Straight out.
Yes, there. Yes. Mm.
Okay. You arrived in Gallipoli in 1915. What was your first impression? What's your first memory of Gallipoli?
That's hard to think too. I suppose you weren't frightened, but you were... You're aware of, people were getting bowled over pretty often in our company. I suppose while I was there, we had half of them hit. Not killed, but hit. Some killed and some just hit. The 303, you know the 303 bullet, it's a hard... thing and will go right through if it doesn't hit a vital spot. It's not a damaging thing like the Martini Henry or the older, bigger bullet rifles. You've seen a 303. It's metal covered and sharp on the point. It unless it goes through a vital part, it puts you in hospital, but it doesn't kill you, as a rule.
Okay. Fortunately. had you known before arriving on Gallipoli, had you heard about the enormous number of lives that were lost there?
Had I heard about what?
The lives that had been lost there before you even got there.
I don't know. I can't remember. We must have heard something about it, I suppose. But, 16, it doesn't seem to matter much. You don't... A little bit older, you'd think more seriously about it, I think.
Okay. Mm. Do you remember your reaction the first time somebody you knew got hit or killed? Do you remember your reaction?
When
somebody that you knew was either hit, somebody in your company got hit or killed. Do you remember the first time?
I'm not sure. There was a fellow in the boat coming ashore. This was hit and it rather shocked me in a way. I'd not never seen a man killed before. He didn't die anyway, but although I thought he was dead when they carried him off, but he recovered, I heard, afterward.
So it's a real flash of reality at that point, isn't it? You suddenly realise this is no game, you're there for real.
What did you say?
When you see something like that, you very quickly it sinks in the reality of the situation, doesn't it?
Oh yes. You realise what's going on when you're in amongst it. It mightn't be frightening, but it puts you on your toes.
Okay. If you remember it all, I guess you were on the beach before you made your way up the hill.
Yeah.
Can you paint a bit of a picture of what you remember Gallipoli looking like when you first saw it?
Yes, I do. But it's all a jumble, you know. There was Hill 60. I remember as we went off, looking back at Hill 60, and there was a pair of legs sticking out from a bush. Now, I don't know why I saw that, because I'd seen plenty of things like that, but that sort of impressed me. Gallipoli was not so bad from the firing, although that was bad enough. But you see, the only meat we had was stuff called Fray Bentos. That's a South American make of beef, and it was dreadful stuff. It had fat and stuff running through it. We had biscuits, big heavy army biscuits. So we had very little nice tucker anyway. It might have been reasonably nourishing, but it was not very pleasant to eat.
I heard the biscuits were a little bit hard.
Oh, cripes! Yes, you could hit them with an axe, I think, and you wouldn't hurt them. Yes, they were thick and hard, and sometimes if you soaked them in something, they were better. They were they'd soften then, but they were hard. But I think they were good enough food. I don't know, but they kept us alive.
Now, you would have spent a fair bit of time in the trenches on the hillside, is that right?
Yeah.
Were you in the trenches on the hills?
Yes.
Tell me about those. It was a hard existence, wasn't it, in there?
Tell you about the trenches. Well, they were just ditches. Down deep, and bits of shelters put over the way you could. And you kept in them as long as you could. You didn't like going out because you're likely to get hit when you are moving from place to place. But in the trench you are fairly safe, you see. There are loopholes to shoot through.
Okay. All right. Did you come close to... you never got injured there yourself, did you?
Hmm?
Did you ever get injured when you were on Gallipoli?
Do I ever get into it?
Injured, shot or...
No, no, I didn't.
How close...
Well, I admit I... No, I never got... I got a bump on the head once from a fellow's rifle, but he didn't hit at me, but he fell back and the rifle clouted me on the head. That's all, and that wasn't very serious.
Okay. How close did you come to ever being... Was there a time you thought you were gone?
No.
Was there a time you thought... It was all over for you? That you thought you might be killed or something like that? Was there ever a dangerous time like that?
Yes, I suppose it was always dangerous on Gallipoli because it was open country. Sometimes there were... the very front line were nearly always trenches. Places like Quinn's Post had trenches in it. But... No, I don't know. Yes, I suppose you were aware that you could get killed any time, but you're not... you couldn't do anything about it. You were there, and that was all.
What's the closest you came? Was there a time you thought that you were gone?
Well, I suppose there were several times that bombs thrown over were dangerous, but they never hit me. But they hit plenty of other people. No, I don't think I ever stood bull-eyed, you know, in fear. I don't think you really get frightened, and you know, you're doing things all the time. I don't know. I don't know what. I don't know. I don't really know what frightened. You know what do you mean when you say frightened?
I mean, did not necessarily frightened, but did you? You've answered the question anyway. You've answered it for me.
Yeah.
All right. How good were the Turkish soldiers? I heard they were. I heard the Turks were very good shots.
You heard the Turks and heard.
Were very good shots with.
Oh, yes, my word they were. Yes, yes.
You had to watch out continually. Yes.
They had sharp pointed bullets like the Germans had and like the Turks had. Well, they were the Turks. I think these cartridges were perhaps more effective than the R303. They were newer, anyway, than the 303. You know, the 303, you know, is blunt-nosed. He's nickel-covered, though, just the same. But the Mosel rifle is handy. I know several of our fellows used a Mosel when they could. You could often pick one up. And if you had some ammunition, you could use it for the time being.
What about life in the trenches? Life in the trenches. It was pretty hard, wasn't it? Lice.
Yes. Well, yes. Lice were now on Gallipoli. Lice were. You see, in there, the trenches there were not as deep and as unpleasant as the French trenches, because we could go down to the beach, although people got hit sometimes going down. But there was a track from where we were down to the beach. There's nothing to stop us except stray rifle fire.
The beach, could you be hit once you were on the beach? Or could you be hit or were you safe?
Yes, you could, because shrapnel's coming over constantly. But it would be almost an accidental hit, because where Anzac Beach was, you couldn't get at it to shoot from, except from the sea, and the Turks didn't have the sea.
Everybody that I speak to about war usually remembers an incident. Usually people remember something personal from the war. From being in war, is there something on Gallipoli? You mentioned the man you saw with the feet sticking out of the bush.
I don't quite understand what you mean.
Is there a moment from something on Gallipoli that you saw that is a memorable moment for you? Something you will remember all your life.
Oh, I see. Well, I can't remember anything like that. I remember a lot of things, but not any. I suppose a fellow named Pritchard was shot and killed. It was a bit of a surprise. I don't think. You know, when you're young, you take those sort of shocks much more easily than you do when you're growing up, I think.
Yeah. It's interesting what different people remember. One man I spoke to remembered the flowers on Gallipoli.
Remembers the what?
The flowers.
The flounders.
Flowers. Flowers.
On Gallipoli.
Yeah, he remembered flowers.
Yes, I suppose there were some...
Probably in the spring.
Yes, they were. But I think they were growing on a bush. I can't remember. Oh, there were flowers planted. But when was he there? When that happened, I wonder. Because... I don't think any flowers were planted before the evacuation. I can't remember that. But you see, I went back there again afterwards, and there are lots of flowers planted.
Okay. Now, Alec, were you there right up to the time of evacuation?
Yes, I was there. I came off in the evacuation day.
Do you remember the lead up to that? I understand that it went very quiet for about 3 days prior to evacuation.
Yes, I suppose it was, yes. Yes, there was some scheme attached to that quietness. I've forgotten what it was, but yes, it was quiet. I think the Navy guns stopped firing for a while. You see, all the time the big Navy guns were blasting away at the Gallipoli shore.
Mm. And the actual night that you left, you left at night, didn't you?
No, we left very early in the morning. Very early in the morning.
Was the sun up yet? Was the sun up at that time? Was the sun up?
No.
So it was still dark?
Yes, it was dark.
And I heard that there were white stones, that you could follow white stones that they had to mark the way.
Yes.
Can you tell me about that? Do you remember that?
Yes, but I can't remember any details about it. No, I can't tell you about the white stones.
Okay.
Where are they? On the beach?
No, on the hill, so that you could see as you were going, as you were leaving, and it'd help you come down in the dark.
No, I've no doubt they were there, but I can't remember them.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to pause this for a second. Okay, you went back. Okay, 1990, you went back to Gallipoli.
There was a small sap that I had good reason to know. And I went looking for it, and I couldn't see it, and then I fell in it. It had brush over the top, you know. And I fell down up to about here in this wretched trench. Didn't hurt me, but...
So this was the first thing you did in 1990, because we didn't get this on tape. Tell me, in 1990, when you went to Gallipoli, when you revisited,
yes.
Okay, what was the first thing you looked for?
Where'd I went?
The first thing you went looking for.
Oh.
Was it the trenches?
No. I think I want to look at Hay Valley for a while, because it was a pleasant place, and we were there for nearly a fortnight, camping before we went up into the front line trenches. I think that's about all I can remember about it. I never think about it, you know, and except when someone's questioning me, like you are.
Yeah. Now, I was talking about in 1990, when you went on the pilgrimage.
Yes, well,
when you went back to Gallipoli, yes, in 1990,
yes,
your wife said you looked for the trenches. Was the first thing you looked for?
Look, I honestly can't tell you if I looked for anything. First of all,
that was in a trench. You see, that's what he, and took photographs. He took a lot of these. Someone else took them. Here he is looking for trenches and the type of thing that where Hay Valley was. I've no idea, but they're the sort of things he looked for.
When were these taken?
When you took them, when you went to Gallipoli.
This last time?
Yes. Mm. Oh, not before. No, the others are mainly the memorials.
They bring at bottom of the trench, hey?
But there, you can see their sort of country.
Mm. So it was pretty tough country to exist in, wasn't it? Pretty tough country to be in at the best of times.
It's a pleasant enough place in peacetime. You see, this last time I went over it, it didn't seem the horrible place that it had been when we were fighting there. The Turks were reasonable enough people, and I can't remember any incidents now. But they were good rifle shots.
Sorry, I don't know why, but that is my phone and it shouldn't be. I thought it was off, which it is now. Okay. Did you ever wonder afterwards, after you came back to Australia, or even while you were in Gallipoli, did you ever ask yourself why you were fighting?
No. I suppose we had some sort of an idea that was to protect Australia and in a way England, because we used to think a lot more of England in those days than we do now. Because we hadn't seen so much of it, I suppose. No, I don't know.
Okay. After Gallipoli, you went to Egypt, is that right?
Yes, yes.
And what happened there? Were you actually fighting there?
Yes, we did some fighting in Upper Egypt. And then we came back to a big camp called Tel El Kebir. But we didn't do anything there. We just camped there for some time. Then we went up onto the canal. We did, you see, there was nobody to fight there. They were all our own troops. Yeah.
Okay. You then went in and out of hospital, didn't you? And you went in and out.
Yes, I had four or five months in hospital.
What happened?
I don't know. I just got ill. I don't know how or why I got. I was very thin. I weighed about 8 stone, I think. But I don't remember any incidents about it, you know. And we were all sent to a big camp called Tel El Kebir. Have you ever heard of Tel El Kebir? And we were there for, I don't know, a month, I suppose.
What happened at Tel El Kebir?
Oh, nothing much. It was just a great big camp. You've seen it. You know how big it was. And there were French and English and a conglomeration of troops, nearly all our allied nations anyway were there in bits and pieces. I can't really remember any important detail, not that I can think of.
All right. In war,
camp life just goes on, doesn't it?
Yeah. In wartime, things are bad enough, but soldiers during war always retain a good sense of humour. Soldiers, fighting men during wartime,
yeah,
always have a good sense of humour. You have to sometimes to get through it.
Yes, I think you do. Yes,
yeah.
Do
you remember a funny moment, a practical joke, something you did?
Not offhand. I suppose there were plenty of them, or some of them anyway. But no, I can't remember anything that... it probably wouldn't sound so funny either if, to tell it now.
All right. After service, after you were discharged in Egypt, weren't you?
No, I was discharged here in Tasmania. Yes.
You were discharged from hospital there, and you came back here. Correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yes, and then I was discharged altogether. I was about 4 months here, 3 months anyway, before I was finally discharged. They had 3 of us up at a board and examined us thoroughly and then passed the train. But the war had changed then. It was not so many men. I don't know. I don't think there were so many men. Anyway, they discharged a lot of us.
Alec, was it good to be back in Australia? Was it good to get home? Were you happy to be back?
I don't know about that. Egypt and the islands, Cairo, they're all exciting places, you know, for a 16-year-old that had never really been out of Tasmania before. It was a fairyland.
But your parents, your family must have been very happy to have you home and well.
Yes, I suppose so. Yeah.
What did you do once you were discharged from the army? What did you...
Nothing. Did that well for about...
Eventually, what did you do?
I just trying to think. It was...
Jackaroo?
Oh, it was about 4 months anyway, I think. It wasn't terribly long.
Jackaroo?
I can't remember. Oh, I worked in the railways
I think that was a bit after.
Yeah, afterwards, you think, the railways.
Yeah, were you? You were a jackaroo, were you not?
Oh yes, at Strench Hall. Mm-hmm. Yes, I enjoyed that. I was there for about I don't know how long.
About a year, I think. About a year.
Mm.
Okay. And then you went to you did training in motor body building.
Oh, yes, I forgot about that, yes.
Tell me about it.
You built a wooden frame, or that's what we did, and then it was plated. You built I don't think they do that now, but a frame with wooden slats, and then the plates would be screwed onto this framework.
And these were the earliest cars here, were they?
Hmm?
These were the first cars in Australia, some of the first?
Oh, no, they wouldn't be the first in Australia. No, because there were some motor cars here before the war. One or two. They were funny-looking cars, you know, but they were driven by a motor engine. Yeah.
Okay. I'll just pause it again.
Afterwards.
So he had very bad mumps in hospital.
Very bad, yes. And that was one of the reasons, I gather, for sending him back. When he went up about a pension quite late, because he had a second family, the doctor who saw him then just took one look. We didn't need to examine him. He knew exactly, because he had his records of the mumps, etc. He said straight away what had caused that, and that's why he was put onto 100% pension at that period. But that was when he was resigning or retiring from his main job, and he did part-time work after that. But that was the reason for the ill health, I think, at that time. The other thing was that he applied to do a course in accounting, and there wasn't any course available, so they gave him the carriage building.
And what?
Course in carriage building. You applied for accountancy, but there wasn't anything available. But that carriage building led to a good knowledge of building. And
then when did I go to the university?
Oh, that was quite late. That was quite a long time afterwards. But you were able to, you built a lot of houses. You worked for various places building houses.
Yes.
The hydro camps in Adelaide, in Canberra, various places. And later on, of course, he built his own house over in Lindisfarne, and he's built several boats. So it was a good training course, even if it it wasn't what he required in the first place.
Okay, and also, you were very active in the unions too, in the union movement.
Oh, I was president of the Australian Railways Union once.
You hosted Mrs. Jessie Street at one time.
Eh?
When she came down, Jessie Street. She came down for one of the rallies they had.
Yes, I think I was on the trade. Yes, I was on the Trades Hall Council for a while. Yes, yes.
Launceston president. Mm,
Yes.
Okay. I guess this is going to be a hard question. You've lived for pretty much all of the 20th century. What is there something you've seen during your lifetime that you would you would say is a real piece of history? Something you can talk about that you believe was a big point in the 20th century?
No, I don't understand what you mean.
Okay, during this century, you were born in 1899. You've seen nearly the whole.
Oh,
of the
I see.
Century.
Yes, yes.
Is there something you feel you've seen or been party to that is an important historical moment or an important moment for you? It might have been Bradman scoring a century. It might have been Halley's Comet. Is it?
I don't think I ever thought anything was very important.
Oh, dear. No,
I don't think I did.
No, but when you look back now, is there something that you?
I see.
Did you ever see Bradman play?
Hmm?
Did you see Bradman play live? You're a cricket fan. Did you ever see Sir Donald Bradman play?
No, I've never played anything.
No.
I have once or twice. I was at Longford once working, and I played cricket. And I played some football, not so much football, but I did play that.
Okay. You also sailed in some Sydney Hobart yacht races.
Oh, yes, I've done plenty of yacht sailing here and in England.
Okay. Is there anything else you feel that... we're about there. I've got some good stuff on Gallipoli.
Yes, I think, well, I don't know, but getting his degree quite late, he did his economics degree, he got that when he was about 50-something,
yeah.
Which was unusual at that time. There's many more going for it now.
Yeah.
And it opened up, well, intellectual life, and he made a lot of his friends university-wise.
What are you talking
about? I said the getting of your degree late, I mean, it opened up.
You were 50, nearly 50 when you got your degree.
I'm
over
50. You were over 50 when you got your degree.
I was, yes, I was, yeah.
That was considered old.
Well, wait a minute, over 50, I was over.
Yes, you were over 50.
Yes, I was over 60, wasn't I?
Oh, no, not over 60, no. It was in your 50s.
What date did I get it?
Well, he would have. It was after World War II.
Oh yes, it was after World War II.
So he would have been
In his 50s, anyway. I'm sure
in your 50s.
Yes.
And it opened up a different world in a way. It was very, I think, very found very stimulating.
Uh-huh.
He even did a little bit of lecturing after he did that, only because they were short of lecturers in industrial matters. Many of his friends are people from the university period, still friends with those.
Okay.
And the sailing became the major activity when he came to the South.
When did he give sailing up?
Oh, in his 80s, when he was... we rather objected when he sold our little sailing boat, because we all enjoyed it.
So sometime in the 70s he gave that up. Would have been... Or maybe
early 80s, yes.
That's incredible. Yes. Incredible.
But he's got a nephew who does a lot of... who's a journalist in the sailing world, Peter Campbell, who's prominent in the Sydney Hobart races, and he's kept Alec up with interest in what he's doing.
Okay.
So he's had two families, so he's had an extensive period of young family. The second family is... Well, your first family, I was asked the other night, the oldest one is about 72 or 3, and in his youngest one is a daughter, 28. So there's quite a range of...
Who's talking about my family?
Yeah, Sammy's your oldest, and Lissy's your youngest.
Yeah.
Okay, I have one final question. One final question. Oh dear. I don't know if you can remember anything, but you would only have been a young boy. But do you have any recollections of the early years of Federation? I know Federation was 1901, but do you remember anything after that?
Not a thing. I've got some idea that something was going on. I can remember Uncle Harry pulling a flag up the mast, and little things like that. It's all.
Where did Uncle Harry do that? Was that in Launceston?
His name was Pybus, Harry Pybus. I think he's dead now. Yes, he is.
He wasn't your real uncle. You just called him. Was he your real uncle?
He married my mother's sister.
Okay. All right.
That's how we call him, Uncle Harry.
But you actually remember him, like, pulling an Australian flag.
Oh, yes, yes.
So that would have been very early on, very early, wouldn't it? Like early 1900s.
Oh, I wouldn't remember anything. You see, I wasn't born till 1900.
Yes, but
but you said you remember the flag. That would have been very early in the 1900s.
Yes, 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 yes. Yes, it'd have to be.
All right.
You asked one time what his family felt about him going. I don't know what his father felt, but I think that his parents were different religions. She was a Catholic. He was a Presbyterian, a real Scot. But when they married, they split the difference and were married in the Church of England. But after Alec went to the war, when he came back, his father said, well, you and I now are the only black Scots, only black Presbyterians. They'd all, his mother had gone back to the church. I'm afraid it's maybe my feeling only, but that she felt all that was happening on Gallipoli was just so awful that she was making her peace with her God and in hoping that Alec would get back, you know. But that was the feeling that I've had, that she felt very badly about what was happening on Gallipoli and very afraid.
Had she wanted, agreed to him going to war, or was she pretty against it, from what you know?
I don't really know. I don't think she approved, but she didn't stand in his way. Put it like that.
Is there any story that he's told you from life on Gallipoli that you remember that he maybe hasn't told, or that he has forgotten to tell? Or
not really. There's only snatches of things.
Can you maybe just give me a couple?
I know he was very fond of his Sergeant Major, who was an older man, of course, and looked after him a great deal. A man called Bill Ellis. And very oddly enough, we came across his wife yesterday in a home, but she's lost her memory. Of course, he's dead. But they all went on to other things. Bill went into the fighting in Palestine, and after that Alec came home. But I don't think that he had a strong relationship with anyone else. I was saying you were very fond of Bill Ellis, who looked up. But there wasn't anyone else you mentioned particularly.
Bill had been in the battalion with me.
Yes, yes.
On Gallipoli with me.
Yes, that's what I...
So I'd known him a long time.
No, I don't think he's given any other stories. I know he was very impressed when that bloke in the boat landing was shot. He always believed that he'd was killed then. That was a big shock to him. But he hasn't mentioned any other incidents like that.
I guess this is one I can ask you, Cass, because you will remember, or you will know this. Has the war seemingly had a lasting effect in some way on Alec? I know I've spoken to other wives and other people. Do you think it's sort of, not externally, but internally left him scarred in some way?
No, not as far as I know. I think, as he says, he was pretty young and he was able to recover. He had a varied life after he came back, and his mind seems to be more on those sort of things, the active things he was doing, than worrying about. He certainly hasn't worried about the war. It hasn't left any of those people who, like those people who have nightmares or things like that. Mm. Never known that.
Okay. Alec, do you think that the war made you grow up quickly as a person?
I never thought about it. And in some ways, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what path I would have taken if I hadn't gone to the war. I'd have probably stuck in an insurance office. No, I don't know. Okay. I'd answer that one.
All right. Thank you very much for your time.
Oh, have a small glass of whiskey before you go.
Oh, I have to drive.
Yes.